Okay, I'll start. Good evening. So the topic we're going to discuss, although I when I sent it out, I said the topic is going to be, are feeding tubes kosher? My wife correctly pointed out that that is not what I'm discussing, so that's a misnomer, because I'm not talking about whether the feeding tube itself has to be kosher. That's an interesting discussion, but that's not what we're talking about. What we're really, obviously, we're going to be focusing on is what the feed that goes in, which we'll get to in a second, what we would call the enteral nutrition. Is that how you pronounce it, enteral? I'm going to pronounce it that way. If someone wants to correct me, you're more than welcome to. But the enteral nutrition that goes in, if that has, you know, that needs to be kosher.
E-N-T?
Yeah, E-N-T.
Not intra.
No, E. So the reason why this kind of came to my mind, because 2 weeks ago I got a call at about 12:30 p.m. from a resident. I was sleeping at that point. When I woke up, I saw a missed call at 12:30 p.m. and I naturally panicked. I thought I missed something important, obviously. I ended up getting in touch with the doctor, and he finally told me that what happened. He's on the night shift in a hospital, and when he went into the night shift, so he was working in the ICU, and his patient in the ICU was a from Jew, and who was on a feeding tube. He was getting enteral nutrition. It's probably called something else other than feeding tube. I don't know, but they're different types. But okay, this one, generally speaking, right, there's enteral nutrition and parenteral nutrition?
Parenteral.
Okay. Okay. ENT.
No,
so,
no, NG tube is a nasogastric tube. Is that for food or for...
No.
Usually it's for suction.
Yeah. So the enteral tube is usually, again, that's going to give you the nutrition. There are some, you know, classic ones. Jevity, my wife told me, is a classic one. This one happened to be, I think, what was called Vital HP. It had a lot of protein in it. Okay, nevertheless, that's the how did you pronounce it?
Parenteral.
Those ones are what we would call central lines. Those usually have TPN, and those are specifically catered. The question is not going to be the parenteral, because that the central lines, etc., those are usually for cholim that are, it's real pikuach nefesh, and the nutrition they get is specifically catered to the patient. The pharmacy usually makes it almost every day. So that is not something we're discussing currently. We're going to be discussing the regular enteral nutrition, which a patient gets. So again, so this doctor goes in, there's a feeding tube on his patient in the ICU. One of the family members of this patient says to the doctor, "I don't know if this is kosher. Can you make sure the feed is kosher?" So the doctor wasn't sure what to do. He looked around. He tried figuring out. There was a bit of a caveat. What he was planning on doing originally, because it was a night shift, was that he was just going to take the patient off of the feed and wait till the morning. It wasn't going to be such a big deal. It wouldn't be such a big deal to wait a couple of hours without a feed at night. The problem was, right before he arrived at his night shift, the patient was given insulin, which means that he was going to need his nutrition right away. There was nothing else he could do. So he was trying to figure out other options to have. So another option is to give him dextrose, which is basically just sugar and water. Now, the negative to that is that doesn't have any nutrients, number one. So that doesn't necessarily, is not such a big risk. It wasn't probably going to be anything else, but it was a bigger negative impact on the doctor, because it was going to look bad because the attending ordered him to get whatever, this Vital HP or whatever it was, and he just switched it to dextrose. It probably would have looked bad. Again, also, the patient wouldn't have gotten those nutrients. So the question was, what should he do? He was trying to figure out. One thing led to another. He finally found, he went online, he found ones that have Ashgacha. He went to wherever you go to in a hospital to get your... to get these nutritions. He found one, he hooked it up, and he got one, I don't know whether it had an OU or not, but it had Ashgacha, and he was able to switch it and hook up the kosher feed. Ended up in the morning, I don't think it was a problem, the doctor was more than fine that he did that. Wonderful. The question was, though, let's say he didn't have, couldn't find a kosher feed. So number one, originally, are you allowed to give the non-kosher feed? And number two, if you go into your shift and someone's there, are you chayiv to take it off? If it's a from Jew, and the Jew is eating kosher, is it a problem? So part of these enteral nutrition have real, some of it, I believe, has real treif in the feed. It'll have, whether it's gelatin or pieces of pig, I don't know, whatever it is. But there's treifos, presumably, in these nutrition. That's, I guess, why there needs to be hashgacha, or there is hashgacha, I should say. So that's the topic we're going to discuss, Bli Neder Mirtz Hashem, tonight. I thought an interesting one. Okay, so to start, it's important to know basically that there are three klalim, there are three rules that the Shulchan Aruch brings down in Aruch Chaim and Siman Shin Chav Ches, that are very important when it comes to eating, or let's say doing an iser for a patient. So the first, the Shulchan Aruch writes that to be mechal, again, in Siman Shin Chav Ches in Aruch Chaim, it's talking about Hilchos Shabbos. So the whole siman is talking about Chilul Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a chole sheyesh bo sakana, specifically as opposed to a chole sheyesh bo sakana. Now that distinction is obviously very nuanced. That's not what we're discussing. But the first thing, this patient has to be a chole sheyesh bo sakana. Number two, the Prima Gadim points out, and many of the other Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, that there can't be any other way. So if there's a way to not be mechal Shabbos and to accomplish the same goal, you have to take that way. Just because it's a chol sheyesh bo sakana doesn't allow you to be mechal Shabbos if there is another way. That's number two. Number three, the Prima Gadim, the Magen Avram, I apologize, the first Magen Avram in the Siman there, quotes from other peoples based off of Raman, Yoradeon, Siman Kufnon Hei, and others, that in order for you, again, to be mechal Shabbos for a chol sheyesh bo sakana, when there's no other option, it has to be with something that's a refuah yadua, or based off a mumcha. Mumcha, we're just going to call a doctor, whether Jewish, not Jewish, presumably doesn't make a difference. But it has to be a refuah yadua or a refuah beduka. It has to be a treatment that we know to work. It's not just this made-up treatment. So in terms of that, and that's the opinion of many. Adagas Maimonios already brings it down in the 14th parak of Machalos Asuros. The Shulchan Aruch Harav brings it down here in Siman Beis. Shulchan Aruch Harav adds on that not just does it have to be a refuah yadua, then it's mutter, but let's say you have a refuah yadua. Let's say you have a treatment that you know works, but you're not sure if it's going to work for this patient. In that case also, the Shulchan Aruch Harav says it would be mutter to be Mechal Shabbos for that patient. The only time you wouldn't be is if the actual treatment is an unknown. You don't know if it's actually going to work. Now, it happens to be the Prima Gadim here is Mesupak about this, has a doubt about that, and he's Mekel even if it's a refuah that's not Yidu. He says maybe even if I'm not sure whether this treatment will work, because it's a Safek Nefashos, we're talking about a Cholesh Yesh Sakana, so Safek Nefashos Lahakel, since you're not sure, we would be Mekel. That's what the Prima Gadim seems to imply at the end, he's Mesupak. He says basically the distinction would be, or the only time you wouldn't be Michal Shabbos, if this type of refuah is what would be like a derech skulis. We've discussed this before. Let's just call it an irrational treatment. Right? If someone says, you know, turn on and off the light 10 times and you'll be cured, that's not allowed, says the Prima Gadim. But a treatment that no one really knows about, but someone says, I think it may work, we can be Mekel for and be Michal Shabbos in such a scenario. So again, those are the three basic conditions. Again, chol sheyesh bo sakana, number one. Number two, it has to be, who remembers the second one? There's no other way, right? This is the only way to do it. There's no mutter way to do it. And number three, it has to be a refuah yadua, a refuah beduka, a known treatment, something that works based off of a doctor. The Shmir Shabbos Gilchus actually writes in Perek Lamed Beis and Sif Lamed Vav, he discusses, let's say doctors want to perform some sort of treatments. They may work tests on the patient to see, you know, if they're going to work, not going to work, if, you know, when they have these treatments that are run by clinics or whatever it is. So the Shmir Shabbos Gilchus thinks that those two, even if you're Mechal Shabbos, it would be mutter to do for a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana. Just one more point, and this is just an important point to keep in the back of your mind. So I saw in the Nishmas Avram, in your day, in Siman Kuf Nun Hey, so he quotes from the Sefer Zer Zahav, it's a Sefer on the Isser V'Heter. So he quotes that, he writes that based off a Rambam in the 8th Perek of Yuma, in his Peir Shemeshnayas, that it's not just a refuah that will work, not just a treatment that will make the patient get better, but even a treatment that won't necessarily make him get better, but make him more comfortable. Make things easier for him. Even that, you can be Michal Shabbos if it's a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, if there's no other way to do it, and if it's a refuah beduka or based off of a doctor. Good. Those are the general klal. Now, presumably, that was all by Chol Shabbos. Presumably, there would be the same concept when it comes to other Isurim, when it comes to Ma'achalos Asuros, non kosher, for example. in fact, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva in Orach Chaim in Siman Ayin Vav, where he was asked about, I think it was an 18-year-old girl who was an epileptic. So back in his day, there was many of people who were epileptic. First of all, a lot of, back in the times of the Gemara, they thought they were shota. They didn't even know what was going on. But there weren't many treatments. It happens to be this girl, all the doctor said, there's nothing to do. We have zero treatment for her. She heard that there were Komrim Be'eretz Yishmael. I can't even translate that. Komrim are like the priests, I guess. I didn't want to translate it because it's not. In the Arab nations. Maybe something like that. Someone who has these spices that can cure her. But the spices are very intense. They may actually kill her or they may cure her. That's what she found out. And they asked the Chassam Sofer whether they're allowed to send her off. So the Chassam Sofer basically says, although there's a very important Taz, the Taz in Yeridea at the end of Siman Pei Dalet and Sifkan Chav Dalet, quotes from the Maharshal that anyone who is captured or forced to do something is as if you're a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana. And therefore you'd be mutter to give him Machalos Asuros. We'll get to that in 1 minute. Even though that's all true, in this case, you definitely can't. And he gives a few reasons why not. First of all, there's no heter to put yourself in a place where there's a possibility that you may die. There's no heter for the doctor to do. There's no heter for anyone to do it. Second of all, maybe putting her, if she's already in the situation, that's one thing. But putting her into a situation, it's not called Sakanas Nefashos anymore. It's only Sakanas Nefashos once she's at that treatment where she may die, whatever it is. Number three, the Rofim, these Komrim, these what you called... the imam, he says Komer, they're more like an imam, probably. But people in that world that were healing, let's just call them a healer, a religious healer. Number three, the doctors are nechshad on shvichas damim, they clearly don't care if they kill the patient. But number four, and this is most important, that part of the original condition, which was given to the girl, that you can come here and you can do take our treatment, that you'll either die or get better, but on condition that, number one, no one from your family comes to visit, meaning you're just with us, and number two, you can't eat kosher. You have to eat army, you have to eat treif. So the Chassam Sofer says, so even though the Taz, as we pointed out earlier before, says this case when you're forced to do something, maybe it's considered a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, and therefore you can give Machalos Asuros, in this case, you're putting yourself into such a situation. And what's more important is, it's clear from their intentions that they're just trying to convert you. They don't want you to be Jewish. Who cares whether she eats treif or kosher? That has nothing to do with the treatment plan. So because of all that, the Chassam Sofer was very, very, again, it's a longer tshuva. I just summarized it very quickly. But because of all that, the Chassam Sofer said, this lady can't go, but what's important is the Chassam Sofer clearly recognized, and this is Pashut, I'm just giving this as an example, that when it comes to a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, it would be totally mutter to give that patient Machalos Asuros, again, assuming that's the only treatment, there's no better one, and assuming that's what's known to work. So that's what's important, I guess, for us. So if you have these three conditions, no problem with eating non-kosher. Now, as I mentioned before, what we're not talking about is the parenteral. Okay, well, that's the MD PhD. The parenteral. So when we talk about that and we talk about a central line, so that situation is presumably lines up exactly with what we just said. It's always going to be a chol, almost always going to be a chol sheish bo sakana. Obviously, or a food baduka, they're giving him medicine, and it's there's no other option, that they cater it specifically towards this patient. So when it comes to parenteral lines and feeding tubes, eating non kosher isn't really an option, and it fulfills all three of these conditions, and there is no question. But again, our case when we're dealing with enteral nutrition, and that's doesn't necessarily fulfill all three conditions. Yeah. Oh, so we're gonna get there in a minute. But you don't need any of that.
Right. Okay.
You don't need it. Right? Because what we're saying is that's totally mutter because it's a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, there's no other option, and it's a Refu Beduka. Now, what happens if you don't fulfill all three conditions? So many times for an enteral nutrition, you don't necessarily fulfill, whether it's because you're not a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, whether it's because maybe there is another option. For example, the example we brought, there were other kosher options. Or number three, this one is obviously a lot less common, that the medicine may not work, presumably it's going to work. You don't think so?
No, no, no.
Yeah.
I mean, what if it's a trial case? I don't know.
Now, trial cases. So, Blina, if we have time, we'll get back to that. We'll get back. There's an interesting question that the post can deal with, related to what you're saying, Yosef. But either way, so many times for the Entoron nutrition, it doesn't fulfill all three of these conditions. Nevertheless, presumably, there is still another heter, and that is the following. The Gemara Psachim on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis tells us, Amar Rava, Bala Matzah Yatza, I swallow matzah whole, I'm Yotze, Bala Marer Lo Yatza. If I swallow maror whole, I'm not yotze my mitzvah maror, because maror, you need it to be bitter, and you don't taste the bitterness if you just swallow the whole thing directly without chewing. Bala matzah or maror, if you swallow them both, yidei matzah yatza, yidei maror lo yatza. Good. That's what the Gemara. The Gemara then continues. Karchan b'siv uvalon. So let's say I wrap my matzah up with a sieve. So what that is, let's just translate it for right now as a net. So it's some sort of a balloon, or we would call it, that'd be easier. You know how when people are trying to traffic drugs, so they'll put drugs in a balloon and make the person swallow. So that's, you can think of it that way. You put the matzah in a little balloon, in a little net, whatever it is, that's not kosher food or whatever, and you just swallow it. Hold. What? Karchan besiv. Besiv. Besamach yodve. What?
Not an English word, sieve.
No. The Hebrew word is sieve, yes. Karchan v'siv uvalon. So the Gemara says, even though if I just swallow matzah, I'm yotzei my mitzvah, but karchan v'siv, if I put it in this balloon, let's just call it, and I swallow it, af yidei matzah lo yatzah, I'm not even yotzei my mitzvah of matzah. So Rashi explains what's the reason. Why? Because lo hayam mamish b'fiv, lo ze v'lo ze. Because the matzah wasn't in your mouth. It was in something else that was in your mouth. So because of that, that's not, you know, an achila. Nachila needs to at least be in your mouth, even if you're just going to swallow it whole. That's what Rashi says. The Ran, however, disagrees. And the Ran writes there in Chaf Hayom Beis in the Daf Arif that the reason why Karchan Besiv Lo Yatza is because, as Yosef mentioned previously, it's not Derech Achila. Right? That's not how you eat. You don't eat by putting something in a little balloon or net and just swallowing that. That's,
what material is it like that?
I don't know. I have to look at the Rashi again. I'm not sure. Sorry.
It's not plastic.
No. It definitely was not plastic. No, I think it was more like a type of wood or something. Like a vine, almost. But I have to look at the Rashi. I don't remember, to be honest. But either way, that's what the Ran says, because it's not Derech Achila. So the Mishnah LeMelech, in the 14th parak of Machalos Asuros, discusses, is this just a din by matzah? We're talking about Psachim here. Is this a din by matzah? That matzah, if I just swallow it in a quote-unquote balloon, then I'm not yotze because it's not derech achila, but everything else not. So the Mishnah Melech assumes no. It would be by all things, whether it's mitzvos that need achila or isurim that there's an iser achila. In every case, when it's not derech achila, you would either not be yotze your mitzvah or be pater from whatever iser would be involved. That's what the Mishnah Melech assumes, that it applies, according to the Ran at least, it applies in all cases. In fact, if you look, I found this after, but the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and Lo Sase Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin writes, and I'm going to read you the language. This is the end of the mitzvah. Shekol ma shenizkar bo achila eino chayev at sheyene b'achilaso. Anything you eat, you need to get some form of hana. Amnam min pasach pevu vala davar min ha'isurim. If I just swallow an iser, o achlo v'hu cham at sheyisrof grono, or you eat a piece of pig that's flaming hot and you literally burn your throat, v'yachiveyu, and it causes, basically also, and it causes a tremendous amount of pain, humashadomalaze, or things similar, pater, your pater, chutz mi basar b'chalav, etc., etc. Presumably, the Rambam's saying the same thing. Anything that's not derech achila, you can't call that achila, and therefore, not just by mitzvos, aren't you yotzei your mitzvah, but by yisurim, your pater from whatever it was. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Orachaim in Simen Tuf, Ayin Hey, in Sev Gimel, he quotes this Ran, that Karchan Visiv, if you take the matzah and you put it in this covering and you just swallow it, so Lo Yatza, even matzah, you're not Yotze. Why? Because it's not the Derech Achila. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So, what?
Achila is so the Hana that the Ram talking about is tasting?
Yeah, so, again, I don't know if you need to get, there's also a din which, again, if we have time, maybe we'll get back to, of Shulok Derech Hana. So the question is how similar that is to Shulok Derech Achila. So Maybe, maybe not. The Rambam does bring up Hana a little more here. But presumably this is also Shalok Derech Hana. Yeah. Meaning it would be both. Hana, this is a well-known machlokas in the Gemara in Chulin about whether, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Hana is Hana's Garon or Hana's Mayav. So...
Stomach,
yes. Yes. So, yeah. We don't... But obviously this would be part of the discussion. If there's no Hana's Garon, then that's how we paskin. So presumably it's Shalok Derech Hana as well.
Throat,
correct.
There's no teeth or tongue, which would be the things
that... The Hana aspect's a little more complicated. In terms of Hana, presumably it's what we call Hana's Garon. Whether that also means chewing, maybe not. But at least something. What?
So gum might not be a problem.
Yeah, these would be nafkaminas, which Blina there will discuss at some later date. Related much Yom Kippur, that's really where the sugya comes up. but Blina there will discuss it. But either way, what's clear is that it's shalok derech achila. As the Shulchan Aruch paskin, that karchon besiv, you put it in a balloon, the matzah, you're not yotze shalok derech. It's called shalok derech achila. You're not yotze your mitzvah. The Mishnah Melech told us it's not just by matzah, but it's by all mitzvahs. It's by all isurim. So our case now, when I have a tube that goes through my nose and the tube goes all the way down into my stomach, so the food is whatever the food is, it's passing all the way through. That would be presumably the exact same thing as karchan besiv, and therefore it's shalok derech achila, and you would be putter if there was, let's say, pig in that feed. Make sense? Good. So again, even if you don't have the three conditions, in our case, when the even
not buzzer b'chalav,
may be different. You're saying because the Rambam,
right.
Yeah, the Rambam discussed that the buzzer b'chalav may be different. Al Tana, it's definitely different because you can't get Hana from it, and that was where Yossi was coming from. But leaving that aside, we have three conditions. You need a chloshi yeshbo sakana. You need it to be a refuah that's beduka. It's known, and there's no other option. If any one of those conditions are not fulfilled, still in our case it's shalok derech achila. So you're going to be pater. Right? That's just generally. Not only is it shalok derech achila, presumably there's a second level in which you would say, and that's it's not even clear that these feeds are really, you know, ochel in the first place. It's hard. If you look at them, they're not really like ochel. They're being put in to give the person nutrients or whatever. If you had it open, would you take it and would you start eating it out of a bowl?
I think you could.
A lot of them you can't.
You wouldn't want to. It's like baby formula.
Exactly. So that's where we're coming to. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Samach Zayin Amud Beis, that was a very good example. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Samach Zayin Amud Beis tells us, based off the psukim by Nevela, that the Gemara is trying to figure out where we know no sane tam lefgam is mutter. You know, but when it comes to your idea that if you have something that gives that's tam, that's taste is pogame, the taste hurts, it makes the whatever the thing is worse, disgusting, whatever it is. So Reb Shimon holds its mutter. So the Gemara asks, where does Reb Shimon learn this from? The Gemara says, the Tanya, lo sochlu kol nevela lager asher b'sharecha. Lo sochlu kol nevela lager asher b'sharecha. Right, you can't eat a nevela lager asher b'sharecha. However you want to translate the pasuk, not for right now. The Gemara continues, Kol ha-ru'ya lager kruya nevela. She'en ru'ya lager ena kruya nevela. Anything that's ra'i to a ger is called a nevela. If it's not, it's not called a nevela. Well, this is where the general construct of nifsel mi'achilas adam comes from. Right? That if something is so disgusting that even a person won't eat it, it's not even called a nevela. Meaning, it's less than that, it's not even called ochel in the first place. Nifsal ni'achilas adam. So this is presumably this case, again, maybe similar to formula, and that's a little bit of a different discussion, but very similar in terms of there are many babies that, let's say, need a specific formula that has, you know, pig extract in it. That's happened in our community, it happens all the time.
Gentle-ease.
What?
Gentle-ease is the brand.
Gentle-ease, okay. But similar to that, so the question here is, again, it's nifsal mechilas adam, it's disgusting. So in that case, it may not even be ochel in the first place.
Someone would choose to eat it, not someone could not eat it.
Yeah, presumably choose, but not choose just because he's a picky eater. Choose because no one would eat it. Not like a, I don't like broccoli, so I don't want to eat it. It's like... No, but it's a choice, but it's a choice that no one would make unless they, you know, need. Yeah, exactly. So this is important for medicine in general. This is one of the, just the, I guess, skip a little bit. But one of the heterim, why sometimes people are so mech on having, let's say, sometimes non-kosher medicine. So one of the things they suggest, or I would suggest if this came up, this came up once, is let's say someone needs a cough medicine. And I mean, we're going to get a little more into the sugya, but a cough medicine that is a non-kosher, it has to be non-kosher. So if you have a choice, you always tell them, have the one that tastes the worst. Because then it's really nifsal me'achil azadam, and that's not even ochel in the first place. Okay, so this is important. It comes up in a few places. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Yoredeus, in Pei Dalet, in Sif Yud Zayin, Sheret Saruf, Mutar Lachlo Misham Refuwa, De'afra Ba'almahu. If you burn a, they did some sort of refuah where they would burn a sheretz, and that was supposedly some sort of refuah. Don't ask me what that was. Probably a medieval treatment. I don't know. But either way, the refuah, so it's mutter because it's afra ba'alma. It's just at that point, it's just dust. No one eats a burnt, you know, cockroach, whatever they had. I don't know. I mean, it's quoted from earlier, but it's at least an 11th century. Yeah. No, this is a creepy crawly, as they say in nursery. Yeah. So the question here is again in this nutrition. So when it gets mixed together, the treif is everything's mixed together, but it's gross, and maybe it becomes nisal me'achilas adam, and it doesn't matter. It's not called even a nevela, as the Gemara Avodah Zarah told us. So the just an interesting Ma'ar Makom, the Pesachei Tshuva writes in Yoredei on Siman Kuf Nun Hey, here in Sifka and Vav, he quotes from the Shos Yaakov, who was asked about the following. He was asked why it was that the world relies on a heter, le'echol v'lishos dam ha'nikrosh v'nisyavish mitish ha'korin bax belot. I don't know what this is. It was some sort of dried up blood, that it was dried up in the sun, even by Chol Shein Bo Sakana. I don't know exactly what it is. Beis Aleph Kuf Samech, if Yosef is going to look it up. And the Shos Yaakov answers, and he says, no, there's a heter, because since it's so dried out, it's like Shol Keder Chachila, it's like not even Ochel, it's nothing. So again, the same idea. This is an important concept in general. Chaim Ozer also has a truth about this, in Achayezer and Chelekim and Simen Lamed Aleph, about if you Chola that needed to eat animal blood for whatever reason, so they, through whatever chemistry, they're able to take out one of the components of the blood. And was it mutter to have that? And he said, once you take out one of the components, it becomes all gross, and it's ka'afra ba'alma. Again, it's not even considered ochel at that point anymore, and there'd be no iser. Again, the same, this comes up in a few places. He quotes the Chavos Das, and that Shuvah there, Reb Chaim Ozer has. But there are a few different, I guess, situations where this would come up in halacha. But nevertheless, so where we're at right now, just so we're at again, there are three conditions which you would be totally mutter to feed someone non-kosher. Number one, if it's a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Number two, if there's no other option. Number three, if this is a known treatment that works. Doesn't have to work for that patient, but it works. Now, even if those conditions aren't fulfilled, in our case, for example, in our case, where there was also a kosher option, there are two reasons why we can be mekel. Number one, this is not considered derech achila. And number two, this is may not even be ochel in the first place. Those are the two conditions. However, all that being said, we pointed out that, when I read it before, that when you have something that's shaloka derech achila, so the way that the Shulchan Aruch said in Tafayin Hay is pater. So pater seems to connote some sort of iser d'rabana. At least it seems to. So presumably there is potentially an iser d'rabana in here. It would depend a little bit on the situation, but there is very possibly an iser d'rabana. And what would that iser d'rabana be? So presumably it would be the following. So as we just mentioned before, so anything that is not ro'i l'achilas ger, if a person wouldn't eat it, it's not even called a nevela. Nevertheless, the Rosh writes in the beginning of his commentary in the second paragraph of Psachim that we have a concept called Achshavei. What's Achshavei? Anyone know what that is? Something isn't something, and Achshavei, you're machshavei into something. So, says the Rosh, there are times when something, maybe you may call it Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, you may call it Eina Ru'iya Lager, and yet it can still be an Avela if I'm Machshev. I mean, he's talking about specifically in the context of Pesach, but he brings it clearly across to all Machalos Asuros, that if you turn it, if you want it to be food, it becomes food. So if a person really, so this is why it goes back to what Josh was saying before. You know, there is a choice. Nifsal Michalas Adam is by choice. No one's going to eat this. Now, if it happens to be you like that taste, you like the taste of burnt shrutzim, so by eating that, you're being machshivit into a sheretz, and it becomes an iser again. Now, the iser is only on the level of Dirabanan. That's what this iser called achshive is only Dirabanan. But that's what you're doing. When you want something to be food, so you return it into actual food, even if it fell off the food track, as they say. Now, this isn't agreed upon by everyone. The Mordechai in Tainis disagrees with this. The Mordechai in Tainis says, no, once something's nifsal mechilas adam, it is not called food anymore. Just because you want it to be food doesn't make it food. That's what the Mordechai writes. But, again, this is the opinion of the Rosh. Now, if you look in the Ramah, I mean the Shulchan Aruch, I quoted it before, but I'll quote it again. The Shulchan, I'm going to quote it inside this time. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Kuf Nun Hei in Seif Gimel. I apologize. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. But Mutter Lisrof Sheretz. This was what I quoted before. Mutter Lisrof Sheretz. O Shar Dvar Iser Ula Achlo Lerefua Afilu Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. You're able to burn, again, this was a weird refuah, but you're able to burn a sheretz, some sort of creepy crawly, that would help with every sickness. O shardvaris, or any iser, so I can take pig and burn pig. Ula achlo lerefuah, and eat it for refuah, afilu chol hashem bo sakana. Okay, so forgetting afilu chol hashem bo sakana. But the hanacha of the Ramah, what's implicit and what he assumes is what? Like, who do you think? Like the Rosh or the Mordechai? Like the Rosh. What he assumes is that really, theoretically, me burning the sheretz should be usser. That's why he writes, lirifua, it's mutter. Right? If I held like the Mordechai, so I wouldn't have needed any of this. The Mordechai says, anytime I burn the sheretz, it's mutter. So why do we need lirifua, filu, chol, shebe? No, once it's burnt, it's mutter. It's not ochel anymore.
Are you allowed to eat things that are not food?
What?
Are you allowed to eat things that are not food?
Like, what do you mean? Like what?
Like, basically,
can
you eat paint chips? Like chips?
Yeah, okay. So maybe that's a separate question. But let's say we have ashes on Erev Tisha B'Av, let's say. That's not food. That's our Echad Mitzvah. But yeah.
No.
So, either way, the fact that the Ramah says you can only burn the sheretz, you can only eat this burnt sheretz, lerefua, assumes that really we hold of achshavei, that even though it was burnt and it's a sheretz, you would call it nifsal me'achilas adam, it's a nothing, it's a no one. Nevertheless, because you might have thought it's still also because of achshavei when I eat it, kamash malan lerefua is okay. So what's the kamash malan lerefua? Why is it that, suddenly refua allows? Can you think of a svara? So they, on the side here, they quote from the Yad Avraham. The Yad Avraham, one of the Nosei Kelim, according to the Otzer Mefarshim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch here. But he writes that the difference is that when it comes to achshavei, what that means is I have, let's say, a piece of pig that became disgusting. So now it's nifsal me'achilas adam, I'm not going to eat it, there's no iser chazir anymore. But no, I want that disgusting pig, so suddenly it's achshavei. But if the whole reason, the impetus of me eating that pig is lirafua, so it has nothing to do, I don't want the food to be food, I'm doing it because this is going to help me, my doctor told me to eat this pig. So it no longer falls into achshavei, so there's no iser d'oraisa, there's no iser d'rabanan of achshavei, and it would be totally mutter. That's why lirafua is mutter. Interesting. Either way, there's probably other ways of looking at it, and not everyone agrees with the concept, this Ramah anyway. The Shagasari has all tshuva where he totally disagrees with this, but I think, from my understanding, the olam is noheg, that we generally do hold like this Ramah, that when things are nifsal me'achilas adam, we assume there is a problem of achshavei, but lirefua, it would be mutter. Hence, the example of cough medicine I gave earlier. The cough medicine is for Choshein Bosakana anyways, and the Rama says that's okay, because since, even if it's non-kosher, since it's Nifsam Yechidas Adam, they're disgusting, so if it's a Tzorech Rvua, it's okay. No, anything that's not for the purpose of food. So can you think of another example?
On a bed.
What?
On a bed.
On a bed.
Right, as in you bet to eat something, like you bet someone you're going to eat something.
Oh, so you're just
going
to...
You're eating for food, you're eating because of the bed.
I'm not sure. Okay, I would have to think about that. I'm not sure.
You're not being...
Meaning what's driving you is not that you want it, you're just... It's the same thing, it's if someone says, eat that piece of grass.
Right. There's an externality that's making
it
has nothing to do with your food, which would be an added...
It's effort. Possible. It's definitely possible. And then the Yad Avraham is not the only way to explain this Rama. It's the most makel way to explain this Rama. In most cases, in her case, it wouldn't be, but in most cases. But there are other ways to explain the Rama. We just don't have time to go into that. But yeah, that would be interesting. So that's one way that there's still an Issa D'Rabbanan in our case. So we have a case of, you have the feeding tube, you have non-kosher that's going in the feeding tube, presumably it goes into the stomach. Nevertheless, there may still be a Isser Drabbanan, and it's only potter. Why? Because you want that to be food. It's a feeding tube, because that's the way you're getting your nutrients, and that's the way you would be eating, so it could possibly turn into achshavah. That's number one. Number two, the other way of looking at it, is based off the Shulchan Aruch, in Orach Chaim, in Simen Shin Chav Ches, in Sif Yud Dalet. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, and it's based off the Gemara, but the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ayachol Sheish Basakana V'tzarech Basar. So you have Ayachol Sheish Basakana, and he needs to eat meat. The doctor says you have to eat meat. Shochtin, and it's on Shabbos. Shochtim lo veinomrim na'achilanu nevela. You shechtim. You don't say just take a nevela. You shechtim an animal. Avelam haya achol etzarich la'achil al altar. But if you needed to eat right away, va'anevela muchenes miyad, and the nevela is right there. Va'ashchita misacheres lo ma'achilan oso nevela. So if there the doctor says you have to eat meat, but you can wait 2 hours to eat the meat, so you shecht it for him, and not give him the nevela. But if there's no other option, you need to eat right now, you can take the nevela. But again, if there is an option, we say don't take the nevela, rather take the shchuta. Be over a malacha d'oraisa of shechting an animal on Shabbos for that chola. Good? So again, Reuven is very, very sick. Doctor says he has to eat meat. I can either shecht an animal for him to eat, or just give him a nevela that's there. So what I'm supposed to do is, instead of giving him the nevela, not being over any Isurim D'oraisa on my part, instead I'm supposed to shecht an animal on Shabbos for him.
Is it because it's Shabbos or because it's two Isurim?
What, two Isurim?
So as in, there are two separate categories of Isur. So is it because it's Shabbos?
Oh, good. So the Achronim all try figuring out exactly what the Isur is. If you look to Magen Avraham, the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah, the Beis Yosef already brings down, you know, a slew of achronim as to what the reason for this is. So one reason is, for example, that people are going to be, he's going to be, the patient, Reuven in this case, is going to be disgusted by eating a nevela. It's just so gross to him. He's going to spit it out and throw it up, and it's going to be dangerous for him. That's one reason, a very interesting reason. Either way, they quote the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Ran, that the whole reason is because by a nevela, you're going to be over every kezayis you eat. Every little kezayis you eat, there's going to be an avera. As opposed to the Isser Shabbos, which is just one Isser. So it's many Isserim versus one Isser, so it's better for me to just shecht it as opposed to him violating Isser after Isser after Isser. Okay, that's how the Ran understands it. There's a little more to that also. The Tzitz Eliezer writes in a Chuvan Chelaches, Simen Tezvav, the same long contrast that I keep on quoting. I mean, not contrast, it's like its own sefer. In Parag Zayin, Sifgan Chav Gimel, where he says another reason. And the other reason is the following. What's known based off, it's quoted in a few places. There are Amon Yoradei and Simen Pei Aleph, the Shach there, the Taz there, the Prima Gadim there, bring it down, and many other places, that Ma'achalos Asurus are Metamte Mesalev. You heard of that? It's it's bad for your soul, let's just say, in a very simplistic way. It's bad for your soul. The Tzitz Eliezer brings down the Netziv in his commentary in Yuma on Pei Gimel and Merumei Sada, who says that it's really mazik your nefesh, the machalos asuros hurts your soul literally, more than an Isser that just is ba mach mas hayom, says the Netziv. More than an Isser that just, you know, there's an Isser today for me on Yom Kippur, there's an Isser for someone to eat a piece of challah. What's mazik a person's nefesh more is on a Tuesday eating pig than on Yom Kippur eating that piece of challah. That's what the Netziv says. Because of that, the Tzitz Eliezer says, really, really, it's better to be Mechal Shabbos for the Chol Sheish Bo Sakana than to allow him to eat a Machalos Asura, something the Torah said is Asur. Because the Machalos Asuros are Metamte Mes Halev.
Even though Shabbos is doing the Fashos.
Even though Shabbos, when, you know what?
Malach on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you're saying because the Onesh. No, well, it's Hutra, Machmas Pikuach Nefesh.
Right, but like...
Or Dechui, I mean Hutra as a general sense. It probably...
The Yisr is like a higher level Yisr because the punishment is...
Yeah.
Malchus versus...
Even though that's what the Tzitz Eliezer says. No, that you, from the Netziv, it seems the Timtum Alev is worse than something else. And that's what, again, this may be a big Chiddush for the Tzitz Eliezer. But this is, that's the other reason he brings why you would give him the Shchuta, you would Shech for him as opposed to the Nevela. So, if that's true, in our case, now we see, even though it's possible that, you know, this, let's say this tube, this feeding tube, is number one, is not derech achil or derech hana, number two, maybe nifsal meachilas adam, it's still mitamte mesalev, and that's why maybe we say pater, to say it's pater, but definitely don't do it lechatchila, because it's mitamte mesalev. Now, it should be noted that many of the achronim assume pater, aval aser, which implies an answer to Rabbanon, is only by Halacha Shabbos. Doesn't apply to other things. So by Macholos Asuros, if we say Pater, we just mean it's Mutter. There are those who say that as well, but this is by Shabbos and by Macholos Asuros. So these are probably two ways to show why Lechatchila, you shouldn't feed a patient through a feeding tube with non-kosher ingredients. Lechatchila, only Nesed Rabbanon of Achshavei, or it's Metamte Mesalev. But Mido Reisa, it is no question about it. That this is not kederech achila, not kederech anan, it's probably nifsal mechilas adam, and mido reisa, presumably, it is absolutely and totally mutter. The last caveat of the question, just to end off, is trying to figure out, okay, so this doctor walks into the ICU, he sees a patient like this. So now what's he chayiv to do? Is he chayiv to do something, to take him off the tube, put him on another tube, what we call afrushe meisura, or is he not? So I don't know. There's probably what to discuss here. But presumably, I would be note lahakel, I would lean towards being makel and saying the doctor probably doesn't have to. There would probably be no chiyuv la'afrushe me'isura in this case. Number one, because what is the isser? The isser at worst is an isser drabanon. Now, what is the worst case scenario of the isser drabanon? Presumably what we would call achshavei. Not everyone agrees achshavei is even, as we pointed out, the Mordechai doesn't even think achshavei is an isser. So if there's something that people think may not even be an Isser in the first place, so for me to say I have to do all this and I have to be Lafrushe Meisura, to call that an Isser, I don't know if we would go that far. That I'm not sure. I would have to ask probably someone who has broader shoulders than me, but that would definitely be my assumption. Some of the things that we mentioned that we just didn't cover, I was hoping to get back to them, but maybe we'll probably spend another week or two on different things in Kashrus in the hospital. But one of the things is, and this was coming, I forgot, someone here mentioned, what happens if you have to be in a certain place and you're forced to eat non-kosher, but the non-kosher isn't part of your treatment plan? So for example, just to give an example, our Moshe has a tshuva in Yardei Chalik Beis in Simen Nun Tes, where a woman was forced to be in a specific hospital. She had some sort of brain injury, I think it was, and it was a specific hospital she had to be in, and they only served treif there. So is she allowed to eat that treif? Is she allowed to go to the hospital in the first place or not? Meaning that's not the actual treatment, that's not the actual refuah, that's important. The other thing which we glossed over, and hopefully we'll get back to at some point, is what a refuah beduka, a refuah yidua, truly is. Just to give maybe a cliffhanger to end off with, the Nishmas Avram and Kufnun Hay and Sivka and Yud Beis asked Rav Neuber, who is his rabbi, who wrote the Shmish Shabbos Kalachasa. So the question is the following. If a chola mesukan, someone who's very, very sick, wants to go travel to a place where they're gonna, what is it called, the type of medicine? Not holistic. It's something that like no one believes in. He's going to go to what?
Homeopathic?
Whatever it is. He wants to travel across the world. He wants to travel across the world to a place where no one recognizes the treatment or the doctors, and you know it's his last-ditch effort to try to save himself from whatever holy this person had. there's no proof that it's going to work. Rationally, it probably doesn't make sense. So the question is as a friend, should you discourage him, number one? And if you shouldn't discourage him, are you chayiv, is there tzedakah involved here to raise money for him so he can travel across the world to go try out this this treatment? So again, this is all part of a different sugya, which we didn't discuss about whether you need, what it means to be a refua beduka, what it means to be a treatment that's known, whether, you know, to be over Yisurim, or even in this case, to be chayiv in mitzvos to help out with. Okay, but either way, akol panim, just to end off. So again, in our specific case, when there was a doctor who wasn't sure what to do, he had a feeding tube situation, it wasn't kosher, there was a kosher one, what should he do? So we pointed out, if the chole is one of those three conditions, again, can we name them?
No other way.
Refu beduka. And chol sheish b'sakana, right? So in those three cases, which we, again, it would probably be a parenteral line. What? I can't pronounce it, I'm sorry. The central line. So in those cases, there would be no question. Now, if you don't fulfill any of those conditions, so again, it's not derech achila, it's not derech hana, it's nifsal me'achilas adam, and there's definitely no iser d'oraisa. There may still be an iser d'rabbanon of achshavei, and there may be an issue of mitamtei mesalev. For both of those reasons, we probably would say lechatchili you should not do it. But again, if it's already happening, presumably there's no mitzvah afrushim iserim to separate him from that iser to start something else, because it may not even be an iser d'rabbanon in the first place. Okay, everyone should have a good night.